Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I am so excited about today's show because I am with one of my dear friends, Carol Ann, who happens to be a total lady boss. She's an executive director for a ministry in town called Choices, where they help men and women and families that are facing unplanned pregnancies just to walk through their options, talk through what it looks like to either choose parenting or choose adoption, and talk about if they are thinking about abortion, kind of talking through the very things that actually goes on in the abortion room. And it is all done with grace. It's all done with this amazing ability just to love on the people in the room. And so, Carol Ann, thanks so much for being here today.
It truly is an honor to be here and to be able to share more about what I do. But it's definitely an honor to be sitting across from you. Lexi has just been played a huge impact in my life. I mean, even 2 years ago, I crack up because we're both entrepreneurs and we both definitely have that mindset. But I never really thought about that about myself until 2 years ago. We were meeting one time and Lexi was like, "Oh my gosh, you're such an entrepreneur like me." And I was like, "Oh, I guess I am." So you've been such an encouragement to me. And so I'm really excited to be here.
So tell us what you are passionate about.
Ooh, so if I have to even sort of rein this in a little bit, to summarize, honestly, I'm passionate about life, human life. And that sounds so broad, but it really does play out into what I'm doing and how I'm living out my life, both in my work and caring so much for the moms and dads that are walking in our doors every day, the families that are facing unplanned pregnancies, and for the life inside of her room, but also just for all life. And that plays a part of my even personal life, being married to a man that is of a different culture and a different race, just valuing to just all human life. So that's what I'm huge and passionate about. I'm also passionate about weddings. I run a part-time wedding business company, and I've been doing that for several years now too. And so just love weddings and love and being a part of that too.
Ah, love it. So tell us a little bit more about Choices. If you were to meet someone off the street and they're like, "What do you do? What is Choices, and what do you love most about it?"
So I first got connected with Choices about 6 years ago. I actually started out as a volunteer, and what attracted me so much to Choices was their love approach. You know, when you hear of pregnancy centers, they can kind of vary in their approach, but Choices just cared so much about loving the woman and the man that was walking through their doors. And so at Choices, we are caring for those families facing unplanned pregnancies, like you shared, offering free pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment, but just coming alongside of them and sharing the options that they have. We care so much about providing accurate information and compassionate care. That's what we're about. And so that whole just love approach about caring so much for that woman, caring so much for that man too. I mean, it starts with that, and only through that can they really learn and care so much about the life inside of them. And so that is what attracted me so much to Choices. That's what I love sharing about. We talk about loving boldly. That's what we're about. It's just loving so much.
That's great. Fun fact, I used to work at Choices before I got pregnant with Bear. So, or during, I guess, a little bit of my pregnancy. And it was just amazing for me because it kind of flipped what I had thought about the pro-life movement on its head. In my interview, I was actually asked, like, "Why do you care about this?" And my response, which was really, really silly at the time, and now I know that, but my response was, I really have a passion and an interest for helping inner city people. And their response was super gracious, but they said, "Lexi, these women look just like you." And so a lot of times the stigma that is placed on women and men that are facing unplanned pregnancies are, you know, they're labeled in certain ways. People have an idea, but they're often people that are, you know, look just like us. And so it was really eye-opening for me in that work. And also one of the things I took away and I always want to be cautious of is I want to speak and use my speech as though someone in the room has had an abortion. So I never want to use hateful language, because we know the God that resurrects and he restores all things. And so for us to have speech that is gracious when it comes to this topic, for someone who may have walked that walk, is just as important as the preventative care. So when a woman is coming into your office, what are the things that she's going to hear from you that you talk about love, but what does that look like practically if she's sitting in the counseling room and she just got that test back and it says positive and she's scared? What are some of the things that you'll say to her?
Yeah, absolutely. And even just going off of what you were sharing about, you know, not using hateful speech and just sharing, you know, putting yourself in their shoes, even itself. But I always come back to the verse in Genesis 1:27, where we were created in the image of God. And if we truly believe that, that is going to affect how we treat others, those that are considering an abortion, and, you know, everyone. And so that's our approach when a woman is coming in and we're sitting across from her and talking about her options. We are going to care for her and love her because she was made in the image of God. We might not agree with the decision that she's considering, but we are still going to treat her well because, again, she was created in the image of God. And so that's how we approach those conversations. Often they can feel a lot of shame through just facing this surprise pregnancy. It could be from their family, their friends. It could be fear of that shame that they might feel from school, from even church. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to come alongside and make sure that this is a place where she can walk in knowing that she's going to feel loved, she's going to feel trust, and she's not going to be shamed. So we care so much about that. And often through that, that really breaks down those walls so we can have those open and honest conversations about figuring out what support is missing that you're feeling like you have to make this decision. Can we provide that support or connect you with other local organizations, people, et cetera, that can come alongside of you and show you that this is possible. And that's our approach. And that really is what makes a huge impact. Because they're coming back to us because they felt that love and care. They did not feel that judgment. They did not feel like had an agenda. We just are there to love and care for them and hopefully provide support so that they can make a different decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, or a few things that I love about the organization, there are so many things to love, but one is that you care for the men too. And I think oftentimes men get cut out of this equation. And so you have father classes and you have a man on staff who is ministering to, discipling, and mentoring these guys and training them to be hopefully great dads and hopefully even husbands. And there's been some great stories of men that have gotten married because they've been mentored by some of the staff on at Choices. And also there's a baby boutique. And so for a mom who maybe is scared because she doesn't have the finances to bring a baby into this world, that's just one other way that you're practically supplying the needs of the women walking in your doors. And so I just absolutely love that it's not just come in and we'll lecture you about what your decision is possibly going to be and use fear tactics. There's none of that. It's all love. It's all acceptance. And there when I was there, I saw so many women walking out with a smile on their face, even after they heard devastating news, which was not planned. But because they felt like it was a family, because they were loved and supported, like they felt like a team with Choices. And so I love that about the organization. And I'm just so proud of you. You've now been in this role for a little over a year, and you recently graduated college not so long ago, just a year ago, and just got married. And so, you know, the past year of your life or 2 years has been, I guess it's been 2 years, has been a whirlwind. So tell us a little bit about kind of that season where you were graduating college and getting married and what you thought about the following 2 years and what has come of it.
Absolutely. I mean, if you had asked me, I mean, entering into college, what my life would have looked like after I graduated, it would definitely not be this. I'm so thankful that it is this and the season that I'm in. But I went into college honestly not knowing what I was going to do at all. I studied sociology and business because I knew business would be a practical skill to learn, and I cared a lot about people and was fascinated by that, so I studied sociology. I went in determined to not get married, and that sounds a little funny, but I was entering into a Christian college, and sometimes there can be that stereotype. And so I was determined that I was going to be my own independent woman and, you know, exit and have a great career. And the end of my first year at college, I met the man that I was going to marry, and there was no question about that. And so we got married a little over 2 years ago, and he has been my biggest champion, and I love him to death. And as soon as I graduated as well, I was able to finish up in 3.5 years, which was a blessing, and was able to start immediately at Choices on staff. Had no idea that through that my time volunteering, that's again where the Lord was leading me, but just a door opened up, and I thought, if I care so much about this ministry already, why not be a part of it as my career? And so it has been an honor to be able to get to serve there, and the Lord has continued to open up doors for more and more leadership opportunities there. When the opportunity came to where I could apply for this executive director position, I thought in my head, this is crazy. I was 23 at the time when that opportunity was laid out as a potential. There was still that interview process and et cetera. But I thought, this is crazy. I mean, there's no way. I'm too young. I'm too this. I can't do it. And it was honestly my husband, Teron, he was my biggest champion and just said, why not? Yes, you can. Talk about what this role entails. Yes, you can do that. And if you can't, you're going to learn and surround yourself by people who are going to teach you. You've got this. You care so much about the ministry. That's what the biggest important part of it is. And so I took a big leap of faith and have done it, and it has been the biggest blessing in the entire world. Definitely learning curve, and I'm still learning so much. But it has been amazing just to look back and see what the Lord's done.
I know we joke sometimes because I call you the silent killer, the silent leader, where it's one of those things where we have similar callings as leaders, mm-hmm. but I'm a lot more open and like, I'll let you know my opinion right away. Sometimes I don't have a lot of great tact, but Carolyn is a listener. And so she listens, she lets things absorb, and then she gives her feedback when she feels prompted. And I think that that goes along with a life of faith and being in scripture and being in prayer constantly. And I just admire your leadership skills and the way that at such a young age you're able to make such an impact and really allow people to be heard. So how have you seen, I know it's hard to talk about yourself in this way, but how have you seen your leadership skills in the way that you lead this organization really make an impact on your staff and the people group that you're serving, and even maybe some of the donors? What are those relationships looking like, and how is it that your personality is the strength that this organization is needed?
That's a great question. I think just even going back to those traits and where it even came from, a lot of that came from my parents. They taught me that that's just how you live. You know, you respect others and you listen well. Part of that is I also am one of six children. And so as the fourth of six, you have to wait your turn sometimes. And so I learned at an early age to be patient and to try to listen well. And so it came from them, and it was something that I honestly thought was the norm, was driven in that. And so it has been so important just in this role with my staff. I'm 24 now, but it is young to be leading staff, and a good chunk of them are older than me. But I think they respect me so well because they know that they can come to me and they can talk to me, and I'm going to listen to them and I'm going to hear them out. And we might end on different pages still, and that's okay. But they know that they can at least come to me and that I will be there to listen. And I think that has been really important for them. I think also just starting off as a volunteer and in a couple different roles before this one, they have just been able to watch and trust me and knowing how I lead, which has been huge. And it plays a role, too, in just the relationships that I've built with those that are involved, volunteers, donors, just so many other supporters, just because it gives me the opportunity to listen from them and hear who they are and why they love Choices so much and what connects them and their story. And it's honestly the biggest blessing because I love that. I just love getting to know who people are, why they are the way they are. And I just feed off of that by learning from them so much. So it has ended up being, I'm so thankful that the Lord has made me this way because it's been the biggest help for me to be such a young leader, to be able to lead well because of that characteristic.
Yeah. And I would say a lot of young leaders, that would be their biggest downfall. So is just the ability to listen. Because young people tend to have this, you know, vibrance for life and they think, oh, I'm going to change the world. And they have a lot of intense feelings about how things should be done. And so I've just seen that play out in the way that you conduct your professional life, but also even in our friendship. It's just been so beautiful to just feel heard and be seen by you. And so I really, really appreciate that about you. So kind of going off that, piggybacking off that, with your personality, I'm sure that you're facing a lot of conversations with people that are pro-choice, people that are okay with supporting women that are having abortions. And so what do some of those conversations look like, and how have you seen kind of the boxing gloves go from on to off based on conversations that you've had with them?
Mm-hmm. And this falls exactly to what we were talking about, because I think it's so important to just stop and put down what I believe at first and just listen again, to hear why they think what they think, why they are for that. And I think it's so helpful because they expect me to just go ahead and fight against them. But when they actually have the time to be heard, it can be so helpful to really get an understanding of the why so that we can talk about that and really get into what really is that cause. But even with that, I've had so many interesting conversations where, you know, people assuming, oh, Choices, you know, Pregnancy Center, we are against each other. And I've had so many interesting conversations where I've been like, no, actually, in our mission statement, it says that we are going to support those facing pregnancy decisions with accurate information and compassion and care. And we talk about all three options. We're not avoiding abortion. We're not avoiding, you know, talking about the types, the effects, the risks, etc. We're going to lay it all out there. And when they realize that, you know, pro-choice, okay, I'm for all choices, and Choices is sharing all of those choices. Now, granted, you know, we don't think abortion is the best decision and can lead to just some harmful effects, etc. But we're still going to talk through all of those three options. And there we all agree on. And so I found so many, they're like, I actually am for Choices, because that's what you're doing. You're showing choices. And so that's where I think there's a difference sometimes between that pro-choice, pro-abortion aspect.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about stats on just women who are, you know, the age group, maybe races and even religious affiliations with women that are coming to Choices to see you all.
Yes, I always love this question. I can definitely be a numbers person, but I also think it's such a great idea to get a grasp, kind of what you were talking about at the beginning, of who really is our demographic. So starting out with just the different races that we see, about 60% of our clients are Caucasian. Mm-hmm. So the majority are white. Probably about 30%, a little over 30% are African American. And outside of that, we have a growing Hispanic population. Mm-hmm. And part of that is just because we now have 3 staff members that can speak Spanish fluently.
Wow.
And so that's a huge help, you know, for those who there's that language barrier, and then other minorities as well, as a part of that. In terms of age range, the highest age range that we do see is around 20 to 24, but that is closely followed by those that are 25 and up. Sometimes I think you often think, you know, lower than 20s, under than 20s, but that's our smallest demographic for age. We are seeing more and more of people who are older coming to us, and that's primarily because they might have other kids, and this is now a unplanned pregnancy, their third or fourth child they weren't planning on having, and now they are coming to us for those services because abortion might be on the table for them. Mm-hmm. And to come to us to let's talk about this and be able to communicate, you know, and talk through this. So that's kind of the age range we're seeing. And in terms of religion, we are in the Bible Belt, but 61% are claiming that they are Christians. That's what they're marking down when they are filling out their initial paperwork, 61%. And I think that's huge. And I think that's why we have such a call to get involved more with our churches, just because many of them are coming from the church. And how can we partner with the churches so that we can make sure that they feel like they can, they won't feel shame, and that they can walk through this journey having choices as a support, but also as the church being a support to them.
Yeah, when I was at Choices, that was part of my role, was working with with churches on behalf of Choices. And for me, there was what I saw a lot of disconnect was that I think they were looking for ways to give and serve, but they weren't looking for ways to say, here's a service that your church members could need or want or use. And I think that that is a great point of saying, you know, we are seeing women coming from the church and that are claiming to be Christian. And so what do you see? I know it's a loaded question, but what do you see being a really beneficial way for Choices to partner with Choices, churches? I'm saying churches, Choices. It's like a tongue twister. What do you think is a beneficial way to kind of share beyond the serving and giving wall and say, there may be people sitting in the pews that need some of our services, even the post-abortive service. That is such an incredible service that you all provide. It's a course that is 8 weeks, is it, or is it 16 weeks?
It can vary. On average, it's around 10 weeks, and we do one-on-one as well as group. But it is a great way for those who have had an abortion in their past and are looking to really talk through it with someone to find that hope and healing. We often promote them to do it in a group because they get to walk that journey with other women who have been through it as well, and it can be so helpful. And we're starting to build up one for men as well because they are impacted by that decision too. But in terms of just partnering with churches, I think it also goes to even the Christian colleges around too, looking to for them together to bridge that gap, because we also see not only clients coming from the church, but you know, also that comes with Christian colleges. And one of the ways that I think will be so impactful is just having more of those honest and hard conversations, you know, being able to talk about, okay, what do we believe about abortion? I mean, I've had people that have walked in the door and they're from the church and they're like, we've never really talked about church. I think it's fine, you know? And I think if we aren't willing to have those hard conversations about, what do we believe? Do we believe this is right or wrong? Why do we believe this? How do we help someone who's been through this and love and support and care for them? I mean, even coming from that approach, knowing that there is a good chance that someone sitting in the row in front of you or row behind you has had an abortion or been impacted by an abortion is so likely. We need to be having those conversations about how can we love them well? How can we love someone who ends up having an unplanned pregnancy and make sure that they do not feel so shamed that they're going to go and run towards that abortion for the sake of, you know, saving face in a way. Mm. And so I think that is so important, by just starting with how can we have these honest conversations and how can Choices kind of walking through that. And we have, you know, someone on staff who has been through that abortion and can come and lead that and talk about it with those who might not understand. Mm. So it's just opening those doors.
That's incredible. And so we just mentioned the church as a whole. Now let's kind of make it even more specific. specific to the individual that is listening to this, maybe a believer who wants to know how to graciously talk about it. I think it sometimes can be a really tough thing as a Christian. And if we are pro-life, how do we talk about it? Is it appropriate to post something on social media? If we don't have the time to volunteer at a place like Choices, how do we use our speech and how do we use our words and our influence in a way that is glorifying to God in this? And what advice would you give to someone who is pro-life, is a believer, and maybe having some of these conversations in their community or with people that are on the other side?
That's a great, great question. I think often my filter, it goes back to just a verse that has been so huge for me, is that Genesis 1:27. In anything that we're saying revolving around it, are we treating people like they are made in God's image? And so that goes in terms of speech on social media. As you talk with your friends, you never know if one of them has been through that before. And so just going at it in a way of, yes, you can hate the act, but are you still loving and caring well for that person who, you know, 1 year ago, 20 years ago, made that decision for whatever reason, and being open to be able to understand and still care for them through that. So I think it's just so important to, you know, yes, we can hate abortion and what it's doing, but we cannot hate the people still that are making that decision. We still have to love them well, and let's get down into the dirt of it and figure out what's going on. And I think that's why I love Choices so much, is because they're making a stand of, okay, we're going to get down into the nitty gritty and we're just going to meet with these women and these men and figure out why they're making these decisions. And is it because of support? Is it because of shame? Is it because they're going to have to drop out of school or they're going to lose their job? Well, now we can come alongside of them and provide support so that maybe they don't have to make that decision. So being active in that way is huge, but just also in your speech in terms of, yeah, social media, talking about it with your friends, bringing it into the church and having those hard conversations is huge.
That's great. So kind of turning the tables back to talking about you and kind of your personal development and professional development, discipleship and mentoring are clearly something that you care a lot about, and you have older women pouring into you. So what do some of those relationships look like, and what are some of the conversations that take place when you have those, my voice started talking to me on my computer, so I just got very distracted, but, anyways, so yeah, what did those conversations look like with people that are pouring into you, and, how would you encourage someone to seek out a mentor?
Oh, absolutely. Mentorship is huge, and I think everyone should make sure that they're being fed by someone, and I think it's huge to then feed back into others too, and provide mentorship to others. But this started out for me, I mean, since I was in high school, I mean, many years ago, and I had such a strong mentor. I had several mentors, but one in particular stands out to me, and we still stay in touch, but she was just so grounding and into asking me the hard questions and helping me form why I believe what I believe and who I am. And I think it's just so critical to have that. And so even today in this role and being a young leader, I have a variety of mentors that help me in different ways. Some just kind of personally who I am. One of even those main ones is my best friend. She is huge into challenging me. She's not afraid to. We've been best friends for, I mean, it's probably been like 15 years now. So she knows who I am, and she can tell when I'm okay and when I'm not okay. And so she is not afraid to challenge me personally and spiritually. But honestly, you and some of the great donor relationships that I've formed have become mentors into learning how to lead well, even just in my own work. How do I lead well and lead Choices into the future? And so there have been so many key players that have helped continue to form. I continue to grow from so much. And I think it's so important to always be surrounding by yourself by these people. Some might spend more time and play a larger role, and others it might be, you know, a couple times a year that you get together with them. So
That's great. I am very passionate about mentorship and discipleship. And I always say, have a mentor, be a mentor. So have someone pouring into you. If you're married, have a older couple pouring into you. I mean, you can't have enough mentors in your life. You can't have enough people that have walked the walk before you. And the story doesn't have to look identical. But if we, I also love the quote, we can't become what we don't see. So if we don't see someone else going ahead of us, and I just had one of my mentors in my living room yesterday, and we had lunch together, and we were just talking about our relationship, and it was just such a sweet time to just see someone who has gone before me, and she's doing exactly what I want to be doing with my life, and just to learn from her and to have conversations and share stories. And it doesn't have to be super formal. We don't have name tags that say mentor and mentee on them. We just do life together and it's so fun. So I really, really recommend, if you're listening to this, is just pray. If you don't have anyone that you could picture serving in that role for you in this season, pray. God will definitely provide it, because I always say discipleship, the way that Jesus did it, was the best model for us, for the church, for business, for everything, is that he was leading and he had 12 disciples and he did life with 12 people. So as we kind of come to a close, my last question for you is looking at where you've come and kind of where you're going. And if you were to run into yourself 5 years ago, so I guess you said you're 24, so you're 19, you know, you're in college. What would you tell yourself, that you maybe didn't know then, or some fears that you had, or just some unknowns of what would you tell her? How would you encourage her, and et cetera?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's so interesting because I kind of share this a little bit, but I was raised to where this is the normal. Who I am and how I'm driven and so passionate to me was so normal. And it's kind of funny, I've come to realize that it's not always the case. but I was raised to be like that. But I was never, you know, even in high school, I was never that top leader. I never, you know, was leading the events. I mean, there's so many ways I wasn't necessarily looked on as the leader, or looked on as the smartest person who's going to go and, you know, run her own company and lead a nonprofit. I mean, I was never, if you look at what other people's opinions and how I felt about myself, I just kind of worked hard and grunted and, thought that was just what you do. And so, kind of looking back, it's honestly so cool because I think I've surprised so many people, that I am where I am and that this is where the Lord has led me to be. And so I would just look back and kind of encourage myself then, like, kind of just get it, girl, like, just keep doing what you're doing and driving. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, not letting other people's thoughts and opinions, shape who you are, because you can easily, I mean, form into that bubble and not be all that you are meant to be and all that you could be. And so I think getting outside of that and just going for it and doing what you are passionate about and care so much about, the Lord is just going to open the doors and the floodgates are going to be coming. I mean, you just get it. So
that's awesome. That's how I always end my podcast. So that was just perfect. Thank you, Caroline, for being on the show. It's just so incredible to hear you talk about your role, to just be just a fly on the wall for some of this part of this story. It's just been so fun. Just being at the banquet a couple months ago and just watching how elegant you were and how mature and put together and the thing is, when I say put together, so many people may think of that as like perfectionist, but I see you as just totally you, and you just embody elegance. You just embody love and light and Jesus. And I just love how much you point to scripture, you point to your faith, and you point to the community that supports you. Because I think that when we're going through a tough time, I think those are the three things that we can, you know, stand on is our relationship with God, is getting in the Word, and is being surrounded by biblical community. And so thank you for embodying that so well. And just thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Lexi. Appreciate it.
Yes. Ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His glory. So go and be His hands and feet to this broken world. As Carol Ann said, get it, girl.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. If this message has encouraged you, then please click to subscribe and share with a friend who may be inspired by the message. Also, if you have an event coming up and you're looking for a speaker, click the link below to get in touch with me.